Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about the sacrifice of praise, and then we're gonna worship the Lord and praise his name. I want to bring Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 up. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, or the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name, or the fruit of our lips giving praise to him. So when we're talking about a sacrifice, this is the writer of Hebrews, and he's telling us he wants to encourage us to give this sacrifice of praise. We're talking about a sacrifice. What are we talking about? Well, first of all, a sacrifice is something that you can only offer a sacrifice for you. So I can't offer the sacrifice of praise for you. The person next to you can't offer the sacrifice of praise for you. Sometimes we can come in to a place like this and we can let other people do the praising, and we're just like, well, that's not my deal, or I don't get into that, or that's not the part, that's not why I come. I come for whatever it is that a person comes for. But it's a sacrifice of praise, and only you and only me, we can only offer it for ourselves, right? Yeah. Another thing about sacrifice is it costs us. So that when we come in to offer our sacrifice, a lot of times what happens is we have a tendency to be more governed by what we're feeling than what our responsibility is. So we come in and say, well, I don't really feel like singing tonight. Or I don't really feel like, so when I say, let's all worship the Lord, you're like, well, I don't really feel like doing that. Or I don't really feel like, and so it's something that costs us, and a part of the cost is that we're going to do it whether we feel like it or not. We're going to give ourselves to the worship of the Lord, to our lips speaking praise to God. And we're not just talking church. So, I mean, it would seem to me it goes without saying when we gather together as the body of believers, but we're talking about in our life and the way you and I live our life, that you and I would continually offer to the Lord the sacrifice of praise. Notice it says the fruit of our lips. Where does the fruit that we speak come from? The seeds of the heart. You know, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, in other words, you and I, if for us to come in, and this is one of the things I think is a real danger for us in the worship setting, is that we would come in to the setting and we would say things with our mouth but not have our heart engaged. And when you read in Isaiah, for example, in Isaiah chapter 29, one of the things the Lord indicts Israel for is, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So in other words, there is some measure of preparation that you and I have to go through to make sure there is a connection between what's coming out here and what's being experienced in here. This is the discipline of worship. This is the discipline of praise. So that we're saying, listen, I want to make sure that what comes out of my mouth is connected to my heart, lest my mouth is speaking words that are empty. And ultimately, if you have, watch what happens, but their hearts are far from me, their worship is based merely on human rules they've been taught. In other words, it's a hypocrisy. They're acting something that they don't feel. So to come in and to say, you know, well, you know, then you say, well, I don't feel it, so I'm not going to say, because that would be hypocritical. No, that's the wrong conclusion. The issue is, this is going to cost you. You're going to have to get a hold of yourself. You're going to have to get a hold of your heart, so that your heart and your mouth are brought together in the presence of the Lord, doing the thing that God has asked us to do in approaching his throne, right? So it's not like you say, well, you know, my heart's not in it, so I'm going to take a pass on the worshiping of God. And it's how you and I approach God. In other words, in the Old Testament, when worshipers went to the temple to worship, they brought a sacrifice. They came saying, I'm going to worship. And their worship involved something that cost them. It involved that preparation on their part. And it involved a sacrifice. So when you and I come into the presence of the Lord, whether it's corporately or whether it's personally, there is a sacrifice that's a part of that. So what did you bring God tonight? Did you think about it? I mean, and when did you start praising God? Here's something that's interesting. Psalm 100 in verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So you're coming through the gates of the Lord. So honestly, in some sense, before you ever walk through the doors of the auditorium, there ought to be praise on your lips. Part of the reason why we have the prayer time in advance is so that we can get our hearts quieted before the Lord. We can get our hearts in tune with the Lord so that we're ready for what the Lord wants to do, what he wants to say, what he wants to work in our hearts so that our heart is sensitized to the presence of the Lord. That's why we have the time here where you see people praying. And that's why I would just encourage you, because sometimes what happens is we can find ourselves chatting in the minutes before service, and it's not a chat session. It's a time to get our heart ready because we're entering his gates with thanksgiving and we're entering his courts with praise. Now, I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm just saying sometimes we need to be reminded of why we're here, right? And I'm all for fellowship. I love fellowship. But as we're getting ready to enter his gates, we want to have thanksgiving and his courts. We want to have praise, and we want to come into this place. We want to come into this time, and I would encourage you as much as you can. And I get that if you got little kids, it's hard, or you're getting off at work at, some of you, bless your heart, you're getting off at 6 and you're showing up at 7 and you're not getting a meal, or you're trying to get a meal and you're eating as you're driving. And you know, thank you so much, and the Lord bless you for doing that. So I get the challenge of that. I'm saying for those who can come and can be in here a few minutes early, what it does is it lifts the service. Honestly, it does. And the reason why it does is because your heart's already ready to go. You're not having to take time to get on track. You're already ready. And I would suggest that not only do you receive more, but everybody around you receives more because you've come ready to sacrifice to the Lord, right? It's part of the sacrifice of praise. Now, when do we offer the sacrifice of praise? And I want to give you just three. We could name several things, so this is not exhaustive, but three times that we offer the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise, first of all, is in times of celebration, which I think we all get that, you know, when God's done something awesome, that, yeah, I mean, appropriately, we would praise him and we would lift up our voice to him and we would celebrate to him. Psalm 150 says this, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. So we, you know, the idea of praising God, praise the Lord, it's the word hallelujah. That's what hallelujah means, praise the Lord. Hallel is the idea of to foolishly boast or to be excited, to be jubilant, to be over the top celebratory. So, you know, I mean, of course, the NFL's kind of cut down on the celebrations in the end zone, but it's the player who gets in the end zone and does the dance and does the little show without being too excessive for the referee to throw a flag. But it's the idea of just like being wildly excited. So to the person who says, well, you know what, I'm just from a background where we just don't do that, and in church we're shh, then I say, hey, you're from an unbiblical background. Yeah. I mean, let's call it what it is. Hey, I'm not against anybody. I'm from a background that was unbiblical. I'm from a family that was unbiblical. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, don't get offended. Some of you still working through it. You know, listen, you know, hey, if it's in the Bible, we're all for it. If it's not in the Bible, we're not, right? And if your tradition or my tradition is something that's different than the Bible, then it's wrong. If your tradition had no place for the expression that's found all over the Psalms, I mean, how many times does praise the Lord, does it appear in the Psalms? I mean, it's everywhere. This is how God wants us to pray. This is how God wants us to worship. I'm not saying that celebration is the end-all, be-all, and that everything is a celebration, but I am going to suggest much of it is. So it's to get wildly excited about the Lord. It's to say, it's to with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole body, our voice and all that is within us, we're blessing the Lord. We're praising his name. We're excited. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Oh magnify the Lord with me. You know, let's make God big in this place. That's what he's saying. Magnify him. Make him big. Let us exalt his name together. I mean, you get what I'm saying? And I mean, hey, at the church, we got a lot of things we could praise God for. I mean, we have come through, and we're just halfway through the month. I can't wait to see how it all finishes up. But I mean, you think about the Easter weekend. And I mean, many of you got the email update on the month of April and the things that God has done with Grow Track and with Easter. And we're looking forward to the men's conference. But you just think of this last weekend and what God did. If you just take the number of people that were at a James River campus over the Easter weekend for, you know, the services or the Easter egg hunt, the number is almost 40,000 people. Now, that's amazing. And I realize that people came back, they came and they came back, but not everybody. And when you look at on Saturday night and Sunday, the number of salvations, and I mean, the weather was not like the greatest. It was not like the greatest Easter Sunday morning weather-wise. It was rainy and wet, and you know, that can really, it certainly doesn't hurt the committed. There, you guys are all like, you were there. But if somebody's unsaved, honestly, seriously, you can sleep in or go to church. What are you going to do if you don't know the Lord? I mean, it's a coin toss, unless somebody's buying you a good cup of coffee or feeding you breakfast. But nonetheless, we had 258 people that got saved. So that's awesome, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And we had 147 who got baptized. Come on. Come on. Let's bless the Lord. Let's get excited about God. Amen. So there, a part of the sacrifice of praise is celebration. Then there's also times when you're going to offer the sacrifice of praise during times of tribulation, times when it's difficult, times when it's hard, times when things aren't going your way. That means we praise God whether we feel like it or not. And you know, sometimes some of the greatest praise will come when your feelings don't concur with his commandment. You don't feel like it, but you do it because you know it's right. You don't feel like it, but you do it because you know that there's a power in praise that, first of all, honors God, second, changes me, and third, changes the situation. And there's a lot of people who never experienced the breakthrough God would want to give because they're saying, you know what, when he does this, I'm going to praise. And my response would be, no, do it before he does it. You'll see it sooner. Praise him in the midst of trial. I mean, you look at it in Acts chapter 16, and familiar story. Here's Paul the apostle, and he and Silas, they go to Philippi, and they have they're getting the church established. This is when the gospel gets established and gets a foothold in Europe. And as they're there, they cast the demon out of a girl who tells fortunes, and her owners are upset. She's a slave. Her owners are upset. They go to the magistrates. They say, hey, you need to arrest these guys because these guys are up to no good. Without a trial, without any kind of judicial fairness, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And what we're talking about, when you're beaten with rods, if you remember from our Corinthians study, what they would do is they would hang you by your feet. You know, like on a dime, you have the little stacks. If you look on the back of a dime, it's got the little bundle of rods bound by a leather strap. That's a symbol of, it's not exactly that, but that's what it kind of looked like, of the rods. They would take the leather strap, they would tie you and hang you from upside down by your feet, and then they'd take the rods and they'd smack your feet till they broke them. And that would be a punishment that was done. So when it says they're beaten with rods, they're not hitting you on the back. If they're gonna hit you on the back, it's gonna be with a whip. So this is a very, very painful thing. So they're stripped, they're beaten with rods, and then they're flogged. So after the bones in their feet are broken, then they're placed over a pillar, and now their back is literally filleted. And they didn't do anything wrong. And they're just serving God. And they're just trying to be faithful to the gospel. And they just, all they did was set a girl free from demonic possession. I mean, there's some of you, and you get exactly just a, really in a fractional sense for most people, what Paul and Silas could have been feeling like, God, is this really, is this what I get for being faithful? Is this what I get for setting somebody free from demonic oppression in the name of Jesus? Is this what I get? I mean, I didn't even get due process. I don't get a trial. I mean, talk about unfair and painful to boot. And I mean, talk about a sacrifice of praise in the middle of a difficult situation. Look at this. It says, they were thrown into prison and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. So now their legs are put in stocks. So the legs are spread apart. They're in chains. Their legs are in stocks. And those stocks are designed to cause something in the legs, cramping. So now their legs are cramping. Their feet are broken. Their back has been filleted. The skin has been removed from the back. And they've got this only for being faithful to the Lord. How do you respond in a moment like that? What are you going to do? How would you and I respond in that moment? Watch this. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Which is such an interesting thing. I mean, we'd understand praying, oh God, get me out of here. But what are they doing? They're thanking the Lord. They're singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Listen, when you and I are going through the difficulties of life and the turmoil and the tribulation, people are watching, and they're watching the way that we go through it, the way we talk about it, and what's on our lips, the fruit of our lips giving praise. And to the prisoners, it made absolutely no sense, which made them listen even more. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I mean, instantly the thing that bound them fell off without any effort on their part outside of praising God. And then it says the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I mean, so here is somebody who's watching a supernatural response on Paul and Silas' part that brings about a supernatural deliverance, that brings about a supernatural conversion. The fruit of their lips, giving thanks, made all the difference in the world. And ask the musicians to come. There's a third thing that I think of when we talk about the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. And it's this: every single day we do it out of dedication. So we do it out of celebration, certainly. We do it in the midst of tribulation. But we should do it every single day out of dedication. You know, Spurgeon, the great preacher of the 1800s in London, said, "The birds wake up singing, shouldn't we?" I thought of that a lot. Every time you get up in the morning, the birds are singing. They know to start their day with praise, to start their day with a song of praise to the Lord. Do you? Do you praise the Lord? Do you start? You know, it's interesting to me that when you read in the Old Testament, you're reading the temple worship, that in Numbers chapter 28, I think it's like the first 8 verses in that chapter, it talks about the daily sacrifice. And what was the daily sacrifice? There would be a lamb that would be offered, and there was a drink offering. There were other attendant aspects of the offering. But it happened in the morning, and then it happened in the evening. In other words, God wanted the day started with praise, and he wanted the day finished with praise. And I think that's instructive for us. And the sacrifice came about whether the priest felt like it or not. He didn't say, you know, on the days you guys feel good about life and, you know, sunshining and you're winning the wars and the nation's doing good and the economy is great, then it'd be a good day to offer that old sacrifice of praise and just step on up and give me the morning sacrifice. And if the day goes well, give me the evening sacrifice. He didn't do that. He said every single day, start your day, end your day with a sacrifice. Every single day. Here's what I find so interesting. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Through him, or through Jesus. What do we know about Jesus? Well, verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. He never changes. The Jesus you read about in the Gospels, that's the Jesus we're serving today. And that's the Jesus we're going to see on heaven's shore. He's going to be the same. He hasn't changed. You know, people can change. He doesn't change. He never changes. The same wonderful, awesome Jesus who fed 5,000, who healed the lepers, who raised the dead, who gave the Sermon on the Mount, who walked on water, who cared for his disciples, who restored Peter, all those different things, who died on the cross. That same Jesus, he's the same today. Today, when you're praying, and you're praying in Jesus' name, and I mean, he's the same Jesus. And through him, we can give the sacrifice of praise. All you have to do is start thinking of how awesome Jesus is, and instantly you find yourself wanting to praise God, right? Because, you know, listen, if we're going to base our praise on our circumstance, then praise comes and goes. But it's not through your circumstances or because of your circumstances or if everything. It's kind of juvenile if you can only praise God when the check's in the mail. It's kind of childish if we can only praise God when we got the raise or when things went our way or when our body's totally healthy. There's trials in life. And the issue is, how do we approach those? We fix our eyes, Hebrews says, on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I mean, so we think of Jesus, and that's what he's saying here. He says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate, verse 12. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp. For here we don't have a lasting city, but we seek a city that is to come. In other words, the idea is, remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember what he did for you. Remember that we're going out to him. Remember that he's giving us an eternal city that is yet to come. Remember everything God has done for you. Remember who he is. Remember how wonderful he is. And as you start to remember that, all of a sudden you find yourself saying, you know what? I got a lot to thank God for. And instantly your heart is warmed to the presence of God, and you find your heart than bursting forth the mouth saying what's in the heart. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. And you find yourself giving him the sacrifice of praise. Amen? And when you do that, it absolutely changes everything. When you do that, it sets you free. When you do that, it sets you on the right course. When you do that, it changes your perspective. When you do that, you find the things that were a big deal to you before aren't that big a deal anymore, because now you're praising God. Now you're in his presence. Now you got your heart and your mouth speaking things that are honoring the Lord. And when you do that, God sees, God takes notice, and God honors you.